Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. What a great text. Of course, it's a great text because it shows us a great faith, and even more importantly than that, it shows us a great Savior. After the initial verse, or verse and a half, most of the text is dialogue, with a few snatches of text or prose in between telling us who was speaking and to whom they were speaking. But primarily it's dialogue between Jesus and the woman, between the disciples and Jesus, between Jesus and the woman again. We're not concerned first and foremost with the dialogue, although that certainly played an important role. But we'd like to look at how the dialogue in the text affected the hearts and the minds and the souls of people. That is to say, what was going on in the person himself or herself during the course of these interesting dialogues. We're not even going to speculate that the woman had to fight extreme peer pressure to present herself to Jesus as a suppliant. The Syrophoenicians, or as Mark calls her, this Greek woman, many had the feeling that the Jews were holier than thou and separatist and exclusivistic and shouldn't even be approached. But this didn't stop her. She came to Jesus, called him Son of David, the messianic name familiar also among the children of Israel, and asked him to have mercy on her and help her daughter who was severely demon-possessed. And Jesus was silent. Now, what was going on inside of her heart? Could it have gone like this? Well, I came to ask for help. Jesus is silent, therefore he doesn't care about me. I would submit that that could very readily have run through her mind and heart, because that's what runs through all of our minds and hearts by nature. If we pray to God in some desperate need, or if we seek his guidance regarding an important matter and God remains silent, our old nature is ready to rise up and say, "See, he doesn't care about you," and thus lead us into the sin of abandoning God for hope and for every blessing, a sin which is in itself punishable with God's wrath and eternal death. And by nature, that's exactly what all of us would think in the face of the silence of God. But then the text goes on. She asks again, and the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Lord, send her away. She's bothering us." And he responds, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, this is addressed to the disciples, not to the woman, but she overhears it. What's running through her heart? Her mind, herself, now. He's the Messiah. He says he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I guess that leaves me out. Certainly she could have been thinking that very easily. That's a thought that arises also within every one of us by nature. That certainly it's nice to know of a Messiah, but if he's not going to provide for me the help at the time that I need it, he must be someone else's Messiah and not mine. And again, this sin of rejecting Jesus as the promised God-man substitute Savior for all the world is not just something that is unfortunate for us in a small way. This is the sin that leads finally to eternal death and damnation. And how guilty all of us are by nature of that same sin. But then she throws herself on her knees in front of Jesus, will not let him proceed, and says yet one more time, "Lord, help me." And he responds, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs." Now what's going through her mind? He's called me a dog. He's told me I'm not worthy of any blessings from him. He's told me I have no right to ask that he treat me with kindness and favor. And certainly those thoughts may have been running through her mind, her heart, her soul. For those too are thoughts that are common to all of us by nature. In fact, when the law has had its say and we have heard it in its seriousness, we can do nothing but conclude that we are unrighteous in God's sight, worthy of no good thing from him, condemned to his everlasting wrath and punishment because of our sinfulness and our sin. But what does her response say? Yes, Lord, you're right. I have no right, I am not worthy to require or demand anything from you. But you know, when a generous master feeds his children, he also feeds his dogs. And it's not because of what I am or have, it's because of you, the Messiah, the gracious Lord, the one who makes us through faith all children of Abraham, members of the house of Israel, the one who fulfilled the promise given to Abraham, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It's because of who you are that I am confident of your help, your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy. And in this case, I would very much like you to help my daughter in her illness. And Jesus says, great is your faith, be it for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed in that instance. This woman, this Greek, this Syrophoenician woman knew in her heart, in herself, in her inner being, that she was confronting the Messiah, the God-man substitute Savior. And by the grace and power and strength of God, her faith in that Savior saw her through every temptation that her peers and her old nature and the devil himself could set up. She knew by hearing the word that this was the Christ, the Lamb of God. She based her faith on the fact that Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Not just her sins, not just the disciples' sins, not just the Jews' sins, not just the Greek sins, but the sins of everyone in the world. She had great faith. She had a great Savior. We have the same great Savior who today, not only through the oral proclaimable word, but also through the visible word of his body and blood in communion with the bread and wine, gives us great faith, great forgiveness. Amen.